Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Quite right, too. Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast companion for issue 520, of course, the Blackpool game. Of course, Ian Holloway's former club, he's moved on, but nice to see that goals were still in glorious evidence, Rob.
What a good way to sort of finish the festive season at the Riverside with six goals.
A goal glut, and a missed penalty.
And a missed penalty, and a saved penalty, I think that's the...
Precisely, yes. Yep. Jason Steele doing the business there, when it was thought it was going to be an equaliser routine from that point of view. Yes. So, happiness all round, happy new year from all the team at Fly Me to the Moon, including Josh McEachran, with the words of course, Bob Fisher, saying, yeah, that's the tricky Christmas fixtures, done and dusted. The response, now let's focus on the January slump.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
No,
it's not going
to
happen.
We can't lose to Hastings, can we?
I have been under the impression the entire population of Hastings will actually be moving up to Middlesbrough for that particular day.
So. It should be a great occasion. I think it's probably the lowest club in the pyramid that Middlesbrough have ever played, if you see what I mean.
And it's at home.
It's at the Riverside, exactly. And it's only £10 full price.
Precisely. I mean, yeah, that, if anything's going to get the likes of our Cambridge supporting sort of fans, you know, up for 10 sort of English pounds to actually see Middlesbrough at the Riverside play Hastings without any arrows whatsoever, it's got to be that. Anyway, how are you, Daniel Baker? Welcome back, and welcome back to the Flying to the Moon podcast.
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks to yourself.
We're still pretty much marvellous from that point of view. Again, just quoting from Rob's opening editorial here, no Christmas cheer over in Lancashire when the Venkies turned from chicken to turkeys again by sacking Henny Berg after what was in so many ways an unlucky defeat at the Riverside. We talked about that in the previous Flying to the Moon. Let's focus on that Blackpool game.
Yeah.
Was it one of the sort of results that, I mean, from the opening goal by Ishmael Miller, the cross by Leadbitter, was it a case of, yes, you thought, rubbing our hands here, this is looking good?
It was looking good. Absolutely, when Richard Smallwood made it 2-0 with a great burst in it through and good finish for his first ever goal at the Riverside. I think he was just 22 yesterday, maybe, on the day of the match. And it looked really good at half-time. It looked like we were going to complete revenge for the 4-1 drubbing that Blackpool gave us at Bloomfield Road in September, when they looked nailed on Premier promotion contenders, and Middlesbrough looked to be floundering. And that all changed round within 3 or 4 days when we went to Blackburn and beat Blackburn. And here we are in the return fixtures, and we've put 4 past Blackpool with our new manager Michael Appleton. But it was a game that could have, as we said, it was on a knife edge in the second half. We were 2-0 up and storming it at half time, and then they came back in the second half. And but for that penalty save by Steele, it would have been 3-3. And who knows, the momentum might have switched to them.
Exciting times. Interesting line from Andrew Glover, from Glover in Brief, of course. Did anybody see the clip of Josh McEachran when the players did the usual December rounds of local hospitals? An oversized baseball cap worn back to front is obviously how you pull soap stars in this day and age. The lad would be laughed out of Dr. Brown's wearing clubber like that. I didn't think that the oversized baseball cap worn back to front, I thought that was kind of out of fashion, but obviously not with Josh McEachran. Perhaps it's his Chelsea days coming out there. You know.
Could be.
He is on loan, of course.
Yes.
And who knows who'll be in charge of Chelsea if he ever returns there from that point of view.
Absolutely.
So, change entirely on that sort of basis.
Yes.
Anyway, your thoughts on the Blackpool game, Daniel?
Terrific. I mean, I was saying yesterday to my dad that we 1-0 win would probably, you know, suffice for the team that are pretty decent themselves. You know, they've had some good results, and, you know, they've been up there among the playoffs. I mean, they went up to the Premier League a few years ago, and in the playoffs have been last season, so... You know, I was saying that yesterday that, you know, 1-0 win, like, giving us Blackburn would be, you know, sort of sufficient. But actually, we go out there and we win 4-2. I mean, I've watched the goals and, you know, good start from Miller. Again, the McDonald goal was great, and, you know, the last one from Leach was terrific as well. And watching him back at the penalty save, I'm not sure whether it was a penalty or not. You know, I've seen him not given, I've seen him given. But, you know, Woodgate was quite unlucky to be penalised from that, I thought, from the angle I saw it. But a terrific save from Jason Steele. I mean, Tom Ince is one of the best players in this division right now, and it's no wonder that Liverpool wants him. And the fact he stepped up, took the penalty, it was definitely going in, there's no doubt about it. Bottom corner, terrific save, and, you know, it's obvious to say it, but it was definitely the turning point in the game, because if that penalty had gone in, it would have been all up for grabs. But instead, we were able to, you know, learn from that and get the fourth goal, which got us the 3 points.
Well, you're delighted to see that song that made number one in the hit parade, to use that quaint old-fashioned phrase, was indeed in aid of the Hillsborough Justice and Eye of the Justice Collective, and indeed Pete Hooton gets another mention from the Bartley pages in this edition of Fly Me to the Moon. We've got Chris in Bartley, and of course Master Thomas Bartley.
Yes, indeed.
Rob, which one do you want to actually focus on? Do you want to focus on the senior or the junior? Because the junior talks about the bottom of the bag awards 2012, and the bar that talks about the ins and outs 2012-13. Yeah. Where do you want to go?
Oh dear, I better go with the junior, hadn't I?
I think so, yeah. Particularly as he's actually gone for the biggest failure of this season, for the Battle of the Bag Awards, being Mark Hughes, Queen's Park Rangers. Reason, self-explanatory.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it?
I suppose it is a possible audition for the Blackburn Rovers job.
Well, absolutely. A lot of the fans would like Mark Hughes, wouldn't they? It's probably the only place in the country where they'd like him.
Exactly. But still, there we are. Maybe the Scotland job, if Gordon Strachan doesn't actually get it. In the Championship, the biggest failure. You might have to reappraise this. Darren Ferguson, of course, because he picked up recently.
Yes, definitely. I think they lost on...
They lost yesterday.
Yes, right. But before that, they've had some good results, which started off, didn't it, with the win away at Cardiff, which was an extraordinary win. But Middlesbrough had played them the week before, and we'd been lucky to come back and win that game because Peterborough looked good. They've got that young lad, Dwight Gale, on loan from Dagenham, isn't it, I think?
He's on loan. Daggers.
Yeah. Daggers. And he's scoring loads of goals for them, so it's... Yes, I don't think we'd give it to Darren anymore.
And interestingly enough, obviously this was taken before the Henning Berg issue came about, the shortest/funniest/best managerial run in football of all time. The nominees from Master Thomas Bartley as follows: Leroy Rossignol at Torquay, 10 minutes in his second spell, chairman had a change of mind. Ricardo Gomez, Saudi Arabia, didn't even start. George Ivanov quit after one training session, and the winner with 99%, Ricardo Gomez. Last year, where does the Ricardo Gomez issue come into this routine? Maybe it's the humour of youth here.
Yes, I think so. Yes, the fact that he changed his mind before he wanted a break, didn't he? Before he even started or something.
Wanted a break, have a start. Wasn't actually sort of working through.
No, it's not the way to start a new job, is it? I'll have a holiday first.
It's a possibility. Okay, coming up, we'll be talking about Rhys Williams and how he's actually been taking part in the Golden Ticket appeal, which is obviously important from that point of view. We'll be finding out who Tracy Hyman has been taking photographs of, why Justin Hite was actually talking about miss-hit goals. I'll say that again, miss-hit goals. If you write it down, Daniel, you'll see the danger if you actually sort of, if you put that there. So that wasn't a miss-hit. You know, it's a very important one from that perspective. And indeed, some of the Borough players who have been doing their bit at the James Cook University Hospital and the University Hospital North Tees in Stockton with their usual festive cheer. All that and more coming up on Fly Me to the Moon, the companion audio podcast to issue 520. That, of course, would be the Blackpool one.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 245
grams of magnesium, 1 tablespoon.
Remember, any more than 1 tablespoon could kill you. Any less than 1 tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution,
oh,
then
right.
you can always call Farmer Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Farmer Nord, I wonder?
PHARMANORD.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Got to be said, Rob, it certainly sort of just rolled out the bat. I mean, there's so many little wonderful interviews and features that we've actually got, it's difficult to know where to start with them. I mean, we've got Nikki Bailey, we've got Rhys Williams, we've got Borough Fan and Fly Me to the Moon message board fanatic Chris Combe, who of course put his Borough Memories of Europe Cup Finals and the Premier League in print last year in the shape of the very wonderful You Are My Borough,
yeah.
The Unlikely Adventures of a Small Town in Europe. And without any bias whatsoever, you've actually followed that by saying go and search on Amazon and make a purchase with your Christmas money. It actually won't cost you too many pennies at all. To give you a flavour of Chris's writing style, he's kindly offered us this extract from his first publication, which also has a very Borough bias to it, from when he was a Borough exile in the Middle East. That's almost as bad as being a Borough exile in Cambridge or Lincoln, I would have thought.
Almost,
actually.
Yes.
Extract from One Year in Wonderland, a true tale of expat life in Dubai. Monday, March the 19th, 2007. Southgate's Cat. You're probably wondering what the title Southgate's Cat refers to. If you're not, look away now and get yourself a cup of tea. Daniel, are you wondering what the title Southgate's Cat refers to?
Well, slightly, yes. I've been intrigued. I mean, I don't know whether it's referring to his pet or otherwise, but we'll see.
Then go on Amazon and buy the book. There we are. You Are My Borough, The Unlikely Adventures of a Small Time in Europe. You know, letting me say, we just slip those things in, Rob. You know, it's very important, you know, actually, to work through
cliffhangers.
That. Exactly. Always crucial. Let's talk about Rhys Williams, who, as we know, got injured playing at fullback at Gillingham, to which he responds, it was a weird position. What? The way he got injured?
The way he was playing, I think.
Know.
Yeah.
So, where did we connect with him, and what was he doing with respect to Captain Rhys has the golden ticket?
Well, first of all, this wasn't the original start of the interview. I had to change it because I asked him, are you back in the squad? And he said, no, not yet. But actually, in the intervening time, because of injuries, he was pressed into the squad and of course, made his comeback against Blackburn and then played the full game against Blackpool on... So he is firmly back in the squad. So fortunately, I just cut that in time. But he's actually photographed here at the Golden Ticket Party, which is a party that they have for Christmas each year at the Riverside for special children who may have been very brave that year. They may have been poorly. They may have been helpers for their brothers or sisters or their parents. And they're rewarded with this special party at which lots of the footballers come to and Santa Claus is there and Rory the Lion and they all get some food and they all get presents. And it's always a real highlight of the Christmas period, actually, to see these kids, to see the faces, actually, because they don't know which way to look. Should they be looking at the players, that Rory the Lion, or sometimes Santa Claus gets left in the corner, actually, because there's so much going on.
Exactly the way. And, of course, they could be looking at Tracy Hyman or yourself, Rob. What could be happening? All very confusing. But it's nice to see that Rhys obviously referring to the competition for places with Muzzy, Woody, Julio and Maine. You know, it's that. Yeah, Maynard. Well, exactly. You know, interesting line on that sort of basis. You know, Johnny, pleased that Rhys Williams is back in the fold.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. I thought it went. It could have been a massive, massive blow for us when he got injured off the pitch, funnily enough, at Gillingham. But we managed. Andre, he mentions this, the fact that one door shut for one player can open a door for the other. And the fact is that Andre Baikie didn't have a club, came to Middlesbrough, impressed, and has played phenomenally in the period when Rhys Williams was out. Otherwise, we could have been in real trouble, actually, as a result. Now we've got big competition for places of the centre backs, because we've also got Seb Hines, and I think as Rhys Williams makes reference to in this interview, the fact that all these defenders apart from Baikie have bad injury records means that we do need plenty of centre backs, because will any of them get through the season?
We talked in issue 519, as audio companion, about the strike force scenario. Daniel, do you feel defensively Middlesbrough pretty much on form as well?
Yeah, we've got some great players in defence as well. I mean, we've already had some of the players of George Friend, but I'm really pleased to see Jonathan Woodgate back at the club. I mean, he's a proven centre-half. He's been unlucky with injuries over his career. I mean, BK as well, I like a lot. He's a terrific centre-back, very strong, gritty, determined centre-back. I mean, he has, you know, got a bit of a reputation of being a little bit wild with his tackles and perhaps a little bit extrovert, but, you know, great player nonetheless. And, you know, if I'd Parnaby come back to the club, if I'd Julio Arco, obviously, Reece Dine, if it was, you know, cracking love coming through the academy, you know, as you say, Rhys Williams and others. So, you know, again, pretty strong in defence, and it's good that we've got the experience there. And we've also got players approved in the Championship level and the young lads coming through. So, again, it's just like, you know, that's the kind of consistency you get with Barrow, really, because when we're in the Premier League, you know, it's the same sort of thing. We were allowing the young players to integrate as well as having the experience on board. So, you know, it's a great formula and it's worked really well for us.
The hospital visits of Middlesbrough Football Club have become legendary in terms of the way that people sort of obviously respond to the Borough players going around and doing the whole systems, etc. James Cook University Hospital, obviously home of Southside Broadcasting. Yeah. We're doing our podcast, various other factors, etc. The University Hospital of North Tees are also doing fine stuff from that perspective. You mentioned that obviously the family and friends don't know quite where to look from that point of view, but you interviewed Kevin Thompson and, of course, Stuart Parnaby from that perspective.
Justin Hoyt, how
were they responding to the whole thing?
I think Kevin Thompson says how sort of humbled he is to go around the wards, and the fact that he's got kids himself. You know, it's quite sad. It's a mixed feelings, I think, for the players. They feel it's great that they can actually go there and raise a bit of Christmas cheer with the children and maybe the worried parents, and also a bit bolster the morale of the staff. But at the same time, it's quite sad to see the children in hospital. The sort of silver lining, if you like, is that most of those kids, if not all of those kids that we visited, would have been out by Christmas, because they try not to keep anybody in hospital at Christmas if they don't have to, and most of the children are out just before Christmas, so they're lucky in a way that they're actually there when the players are around. But Julio Arco, I think, was his seventh visit in all to the hospital since he's been at Middlesbrough, and there was one funny instance where some of the players went in. And a little lad said, no, I'm a Sunderland fan, so he wasn't interested. So Julio Arco was the one who was sent across to speak to him, and he was quite happy there because of Julio living in Sunderland and his former club.
Just don't get me started on that Adam Johnson, how he bit the hand that fed him so much and gave him a Premiership winner's medal. You know, it's just dreadful.
This is Man City, isn't it, you're talking about?
Please. Yeah. Dreadful scenario in every sense of the word. Overall then, Daniel, do you feel as though Middlesbrough are up for the next stage of the season? Obviously, we've got a whole range of, I mean, there's Hull City looking interesting.
Hull look really strong, don't they, yeah.
Under the guise, of course, of Nigel Pearson, ex-Borough man.
No, Steve Bruce.
So,
Nigel Pearson's at Leicester, and he won yesterday. I think the pressure was growing on Nigel.
There's that. We've got
Cardiff City.
Cardiff City, Crystal Palace was around from that point of view. How do you feel it's shaping up? Rob, let's go to you first on this one.
I think it's going to be it's interesting, but finally the main contenders seem to be emerging in and Cardiff obviously have been strong throughout, and Hull are looking a real force now, especially at home. I was very impressed by their display on the Football League show, and Crystal Palace have had a bit of a wobble, but they've got in Murray a player that just can't stop scoring, and obviously Zaha. Be interesting to see whether they keep all their players in January, and then Watford with their loanees from the Italian league. They look as they could be the surprise package, or well, not the surprise package. They could be the team that emerges in the second half of the season as a challenge. Yeah. So it's going to be. But I think Middlesbrough, having beaten Blackburn and particularly Blackpool, show that we are not just playoff contenders, but promotion contenders. I think it's going to be a really exciting second half of the season. And one feature this to look out for perhaps is more of these foreign owners getting the jitters. And perhaps even someone like Malky Mackay having to look over his shoulder if Cardiff, if they stutter and stumble at all, because they're clearly all wanting to get promotion this season.
For the extra bonus televisual money of the Premiership.
Well, yeah, and also they're all scared of when fair play comes in, that they will no longer be able to use all their extra resources to buy their way into the Premier League, because the rules say that if you put extra money in, that you get financial penalties. And I think they're all worried about this happening.
Crowd sizes at the Riverside, we were down to 18,000 for the Blackpool game, 22,000 obviously for Blackburn Rovers. Could do with a few more people going along, I would have thought.
We've got some offers in the next two games, the cup match with Hastings. And then
Watford,
there's a season ticket offer there, where season ticket holders can bring in as many fans as they want, as many family and friends, for half price tickets, and hopefully we'll get a good take up with that.
We won't talk about the sides that we play at the end of January, because obviously we've already played them, and hopefully the reverse result will be in place
from that point of view.
But it's away to Derby County as we sort of wrap up this particular
New
piece.
Year's Day.
That kicks off 2013. Daniel, your thoughts from that point of view? Do you think it's a winnable game? Do you think it's a case where we need 3 points, or would you settle for a point against Nigel Clough's side?
Definitely a winnable game. We've beaten Blackburn and Blackpool recently, who have been, you know, in the same sort of position, the mid-table mediocrity. Derby have had some great results. We've got some, you know, very decent young players coming through. Will Hughes in particular has been making a lot of the news because of his apparently tracking by Barcelona. So that's one to look out for. But, you know, they've got some players that know the vision. They've got to pick up some good results themselves. But the problem has been, of course, Elman's been inconsistent in some way for Derby. You know, I mean, it's the kind of old thing of not having a particularly strong goal difference, and, you know, it sometimes gets down to winning games heavily and losing them heavily, winning narrowly, losing heavily, whatever. But it's definitely a very winnable game. We've got the resources to do it because, you know, we're on a bit of a winning run now. And, you know, obviously, we have to make sure that we don't let the Hastings game get to us, and that, you know, we deal with that well and we don't get too distracted in it. And then, you know, hopefully the momentum carries over. So, yes, as you say, I think 3 points is definitely very achievable from that game.
So, as we begin to approach that sort of post-Christmas slump all will be well with the world. So that's the important thing. Staying power is needed. Victory today. How can people actually get hold of Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine, if they don't fancy going to places like Borough Bookworm or to various other programme sellers around the whole base, etc.? If they're sort of based in Lincoln or in Cambridge, how can they get hold of the whole thing?
Yeah. Go on the website, www.fmttm.com, and look for the subscribe button, or probably email me. Because I have to come up with a different price every time every match is gone, which is robshrug@gmail.com, or write, if you've old-fashioned way, at Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Brentnell Street, Middlesbrough, TS1 5, A for Alan, P for Peacock.
Splendid. And of course it's been an odd year for Fly Me to the Moon as well, because there was a moment pre-Olympic glory and various other side of things, etc., where we weren't sure whether the paper edition would continue, but thankfully it has.
Yeah.
So good news as far as that's actually concerned. Okay, that pretty much wraps up issue 520's Audio Companion, the New Year edition of Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. We talked about the Borough's golden ticket party. We talked about a whole heap of other scenarios, etc. Even James Cartwright says, what a year, as far as things are actually concerned. Any delights you'd like in transfer window? I mean, people seem to have gone a little bit quiet on the notion of that chap from Liverpool returning.
Well, he's hardly been out of the team, as he's doing with Downing.
Yeah.
And scored for Liverpool. They're going to have to do a big serious business, aren't they, in January? You know, they've been linked to Thomas Ince. for instance, who played us yesterday for Blackpool, which would be an amazing thing because they gave him away to Blackpool, and now they're going to, that'd be millions of pounds. So you never know. I think basically for us, I don't think there'll be many players coming in, but hopefully not many going out. That's the main thing. And we've got players coming back to fitness like Carriol and Williams, who's just come back in the team, and I think that's going to be of more importance.
Who would you like to see if you were given a sort of dream in or dream out, Daniel?
It's difficult to say, really, because I think I sort of at the same point as Rob, really, that we've got, pretty much what we need. I can't say there's been much activity, but I am one of these people who would love to see a former player come back, and of course Downing would be brilliant, but again, the problem is his wages, and actually now he's picking up a bit from Liverpool, but I expect wholesale changes at Liverpool during January, so you never know. I mean, it will have to be a loan deal, really, because, we don't think we can really afford his wages, but if we can negotiate something, whether it be for a couple of months or a big end of the season, then he'll definitely add something for us if we can do that. But otherwise, no, I think we're pretty well equipped, and, we're never going to have injuries, we're going to have, times where players miss games, etc. But, I think we are well covered in most areas, goal, defence, midfield, etc. We've got the four strikers as well, as we were talking about before. So, I think the only person I would like to see would of course be Downing, and that would really add to me to the side.
There we have it. Okay, the summation of our last Fly Me to the Moon audio podcast of 2012. Yes, the Mayan calendar has ended, but the show still goes on. And that's the important thing as we continue into our routine. When we return, we'll be reflecting on the Derby County game, reflecting obviously on the Hayes match, Hastings match,
Hastings.
I should say. Hastings.
Not Harrogate, but Hastings.
No, Harrogate, but Hastings. And then, of course, we'll be previewing the Watford game.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. So there we are. Rob and Daniel, would you like to leave the team in the...
Give us a countdown, Alex.
I think I will, actually, yes. A one, a two, a three.
Come on, Burr! Up the Burr!
Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.